We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning and welcome to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. We have as our producers, Eric Williamson, Martha Deal, and Henry Frain is at the controls. In this part of Focus 580, we will be spending some time talking with the president of the leading international organization that represents the interests of libraries and also of their users. Our guest is Ellen Tice. She is the president of the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions. She is also senior director of Library and Information Services at the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa. And she's here visiting in Champaign-Urbana to give a speech. This is the 19th annual Mortenson Distinguished Lecture that is sponsored by the Mortenson Center here on the campus of the University of Illinois. And she will be talking about the issue of isolation and information famine in Africa, talking specifically about the role of the library in Africa and the role that libraries play in development. And I think that I'm sure some of the things that she would say about Africa would apply to a lot of other places as well. Her talk will take place tomorrow, 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the Graduate School of Library and Information Science, room 126. And it is open to the public. Anyone who is interested should feel welcome to stop by and hear what she has to say. And certainly if you'd like to know more about the Mortenson Center on the campus, you can go to their website and learn about them. And questions here on the program are welcome, too. The number here in Champaign-Urbana is 333-9455. That's the number for people who are listening here in Champaign-Urbana. We do as well have a toll-free line. And that one is good anywhere that you can hear us. If it would be a long-distance call, you can use that number, and we will pay for the call, and that is 800-222-9455. So locally here, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. At any point, you certainly should feel welcome to pick up the telephone and call and be a part of the conversation. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Yes, thank you.
I thought I would ask just as a general question, something that I'm sure you will have some response to, as it is you are the person who at the moment is the president of this large international organization of libraries and librarians. You know, I think that over the years, I don't know how many years now, I've had conversations with people about the future of the library and how the digital age has changed how libraries do their work and what people expect of libraries. Because now there is so much information that's available in digital form, people access it that way. And people, I think, particularly when it comes to their community library, are asking more and more for more and more different kinds of things of the library. How do you think libraries are doing meeting this kind of challenge of increased demand and the challenges of the digital age?
Mm-hmm. David, firstly, let me take the opportunity and also just to greet all the listeners. And then secondly, I'd also just like to thank the Mortenson Center at the University of Illinois here at Urbana-Champaign for inviting me. I'm really very, very pleased and honored to have been invited to this very distinguished event. And I'm really looking forward to spend the next few days here at the university. With regard to your question, indeed, it's a question that have been asked in many countries, many libraries, even at universities. And libraries, of course, realize that we're actually facing a major challenge, and some actually regard it as competition because just of the abundance of information that's available via information technology, especially since Google also came onto the scene. But what I think it's important that we first of all have to realize, in order for people, it doesn't matter who they are, to use information and to use the internet and to access that information, they still have to read. And as a basic thing, that's where libraries fundamentally have played a major role and so on. And therefore, even with all the information that's available via the various technological forms, etc., people still have to read, people still have to know where to find the information, etc. So, of course, what is important is for libraries then, therefore, to think and to redefine their role within this new environment. And one way in which they have responded to it is, in fact, to take on also these new technologies. So, therefore, in order to provide more computers in libraries also for people to access the information, that people can actually see that the library is still fundamental, and that the library can also provide the same services that they can provide, especially, you know, whether it is via telephones or whether it's via home, etc., etc. Of course, there are also still many, many people in the world, and maybe not the case in developed countries, but certainly, and I'm coming from a developing country, of course, as well, and I'm also aware of, you know, many parts of the world. There are many countries where a lot of people do not have access to computers and do not, and in fact, even if they have, they can't afford. And connectivity and other parts of the world are also very expensive. So libraries still have a fundamental role to play in terms of the basic services that they have to provide. And also, even in developed countries, I know that there are parts of those countries also where people can't afford to access this material, etc. So that's on the one hand. And those that actually do have access, on the other hand, it's basically adopting new technologies, bring it also into the libraries, make people aware there are different forms, and the library's critical role is to assist and to facilitate that access to information and to guide people still, because you can have all the information in the world, but if it's not the relevant information and the information that's going to help you in what your specific need is, then, you know, it's not going to be of much use. So it's still to guide people so that they can actually get to the authoritative and the information that they know can actually help them with particular needs. And that's what libraries have to do, to take on, to certainly adopt these new technologies and to make the public aware that the libraries can still provide you with the best way in order to find the information that you actually require.
Well, do you think that libraries have an important role to play in advocating for, or maybe even in a more direct way, providing for literacy? And it seems to me that as you say, that maybe we might think of that's in a sense somebody else's problem, that the library maybe shouldn't have to worry about that. You know, they provide the material, but as you say, if people can't read, it's not going to do them very much good. Mm-hmm. Do you think, particularly in the African context, that libraries have some important role here to provide for literacy?
A critical role, and many libraries for years have had literacy programs in the new knowledge information world, especially in terms of technology. Of course, we also, what do we call the concept, information literacy, which means it's about assisting and helping users in terms of basic literacy, those that you still have to look at adult education, because people, there are parts of the world, again, in Africa, where literacy levels are very low in many parts of the continent. So, yes, where they're involved with schools or other educational institutions in terms of providing literacy, and of course where the library would come in, and maybe not necessarily some of them, librarians can also be trained to do the literacy courses, but it's also important where the library specifically can play a major role, even if they don't actually going to be teaching the literacy courses, is of course to provide the resources. So you provide, the library is able to provide basic literacy resources that the teachers can use. So again, guiding the, and as they do the courses, guiding the people to come to the library, so that if they have a course, for example, on how to do shopping or lifelong or do-it-yourself skills. Of course, you know, this in the library, you can actually find the books and you can get books with basic information on how to help it. And so as you go, as you advance, you can then get, of course, more advanced material. And therefore, you bring people back into the library, and they can actually see that the library is a resource and that they can find the material that they need in order for them to continue then. And many of these people go on and they actually do a high school course, or they, and then able, and some of them even can go to university. And many of them have started with these literacy courses where they've done it in partnerships with schools and so on to provide literacy for adults specifically. And it helps with people's unemployment, because a lot, again, that's the other issue. A lot of people, if you have low literacy, it's very difficult to find work. So in terms of being able to do these kinds of courses, and then, of course, you know, it helps to provide employment, and it just gives people more skills, literacy skills, so that they can actually find a job and therefore help and contribute to the economic development of the country. I mean, it is such huge benefits and value, and it's a critical role, and many libraries do actually provide some of those courses and actually work with educational institutions to do so.
Yeah. You know, I think here in our communities, for example, we have two very fine community libraries, and I know that the rates of use are very, very high. They're very crowded places. You go there and almost any day of the week, almost any time, the library is full of people and children and adults, people of all ages, which is a great thing to see. And I'm sure that if we ask people, what do you think are the most important public institutions in the community? I'm sure that lots and lots of people would say the library is one of them. I think, though, it sounds as if in the African context, we even take that up several levels when we talk about just what an important institution for a community the library is, and how it can and maybe should, maybe needs to be a real center for the community in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, as you pointed out, in libraries as public community spaces, and of course, and from what you've explained here, where of course it has, you know, entertainment, you know, where people would be able to come and, I mean, there are just so many aspects, you know, but in Africa particularly, the educational role that the libraries still have to play is huge, because of the fact, as we mentioned earlier on, about low literacy levels, the fact that in terms of unemployment, just in terms of education, and even whether it's in terms of HIV/AIDS and information, and just basic knowledge of citizens who are probably not that much involved, because they just never have had access even to basic information to know their role that they also can play in terms of the government, in terms of information that they require in terms of being able to participate in the public sphere, in terms of citizens' role, etc. So all of those things are things that the library, and particularly, and not just even in Africa, but even in other developing countries, can still contribute a lot in terms of educating people. And that's from school level up to adult level, etc.
Yeah. Any library, one of the big challenges that they face, or maybe one of the questions that they have to ask, is what do we need to have? What should we have here at the library? What, you know, what sort of materials, what sort of books? What, no matter what it is, you have to say, well, what it is, what do we need here? And I wonder, how is there a particular difficulty that you and perhaps people who are responsible for libraries in Africa have faced in looking at that very question and trying to have some sort of a balance, particularly when it comes to the origin of your materials and what they are and what the point of reference is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can perhaps use the example that we have had in South Africa over the last few years, and I think that may give some response to you in terms of how do we balance that. In South Africa, and I think in many other Commonwealth countries in South Africa, as well as also some of the others that have been colonized by European countries, we basically have followed a model of especially public libraries, which was based on the Western model or on the British model. So we've actually never really had a system in place which was actually developed by the people in terms of addressing their particular needs. And that had related also a lot to what was actually available in these libraries. And it became clear as these countries have actually developed over the years, that the material that have been kept in these libraries have actually not really responded to the needs of the communities. And as such, for example, that in especially in university libraries, of course, most of the books are published in Europe and America. So the books that we collect are not necessarily books that are being... So there are several issues that one has to address in terms of, you know, the content in terms of what is being published and what is available, what is affordable. And then, of course, there's the issue of languages as well in terms of the indigenous languages. Again, if 50, 60, 70% of the books that are available in these libraries because they publish somewhere else are available, you know, if half of the population can't read the books because it's not in their original language, then obviously, you know, one has to ask, is that what we should have? And are the material that we actually have in these libraries relevant? So what happened in South Africa is that the government had actually decided that they're going to allocate funding specifically to revitalize and redevelop and rethink public libraries so that we can actually address this and see if we can actually bring that balance in. And as such, what happened, they had consultations, and what was suggested is that they look at a transformation chart in terms of how to transform these libraries, that they actually become more relevant to the communities which they serve. And that's looking at languages, you know, that we have more books published in the local languages to make it available. Again, that helps with literacy as well. So what happened is that there were various consultation meetings were actually held in each of the various provinces or states. And in each of those, members of the public were invited actually to come and say, what are the material that they, instead of the libraries deciding, we actually ask the community, the schools, you know, what material do they actually want in the libraries and so on. And they've actually come back. And what came out very clearly, it's again, yes, people would like to have more material in their local languages, in that particular part of the country where they speak, you know, certain languages. Secondly, people would like to have more local information available, information about the community, information about government information. They would like to know more about authors, people that have actually written about their history and their culture in a particular area. So that's, of course, that links to indigenous knowledge systems and also about information that's relevant to them and that they can use in their particular area. So just those are just some of the things. So if you want to balance that, then I think the key thing that comes out continuously, and I think that can basically apply to any country, is that people do want to have information that they can use and that's relevant and that's local. And then after they've had that, then you can provide more the other information for entertainment, popular kind of information, et cetera, et cetera. But really it's about, first of all, addressing the local needs of the community and in terms of what is really relevant and applicable to that particular community, that you find that and then you can build onto that and then add, of course, you know, for the general public to use.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting because I would expect that certainly people would come to the library looking for information of a practical, everyday sort of nature, problem-solving things, and in some cases maybe very technical kind of information, and it could have to do with health, could have to do with agriculture, could have to do with starting a small business, could have to do with taking care of your family, could, you know, all sorts of things like that. And I'm sure that people do look for that. But it sounds as if also people are looking for, they're looking for history. They're maybe looking for fiction. They're looking for things that also touch their everyday lives in a very direct sort of way. So that those things aren't different. But that maybe that they get it a very different sort of subject matter, different sort of issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If I look at Africa and South Africa, of course, you know, the other problem that's linked to that is, of course, the fact that many of the school libraries, you know, when we think about community libraries, that we also have to think about school libraries. And many of, in South Africa, for example, also, not many of our schools actually have libraries. So in most cases, the library is actually being used by school children because the community public library. So basically, people also just come, you know, in terms of helping them with their school assignments, and that the library needs to provide that kind. But it is, in the end of the day, like you've said, it's about general information that people require, but at the same time, they also want specific information that they actually require in terms of their everyday lives. But the library always have to try and respond to a diverse needs of a diverse community and group of people.
Let me just take a moment here to introduce again our guest. We're speaking with Ellen Tice. She is currently the president of the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions. She's also the senior director of Library and Information Services at the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa. And she's here visiting the campus of the University of Illinois to give the 2009 Mortenson Distinguished Lecture. This is sponsored by the Mortenson Center here at the U of I in Urbana-Champaign. The lecture takes place, the talk takes place tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock in the Graduate School of Library and Information Science, room 126, and anyone who is interested in attending should feel welcome. It is open to the public. The title is Isolation and Information Famine Stifling Africa's Growth. And here on the program, questions are certainly welcome. If you want to call in, be a part of the conversation, you may do that. And the number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Go anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Just the last thing that you said there raises in my mind the question of resources, and I'm sure that that's, again, a challenge for any library anywhere. How do you get the resources to have the people and have the materials and keep the lights on and be able to have the doors open so people can come to the library? Funding for libraries, is this one way or another, either something that's a local government function or a national government function?
In most cases, in most countries, it is a local function. But of course, they may at a state level or at a national level get also support for some of the services and for some of the material that's being provided. But especially now in the economic downturn, and as it have been for years, you know, when it actually in times like this that there is the tendency, or when there are budgetary constraints, that, you know, libraries have always been regarded as the soft spot, and that's the first place where you're going to go and basically cut the budget. But the library community, and especially during our annual conference of the International Federation recently in Milan, we've actually had a session and to actually indicate that it's actually in times like this, when we have this economic downturns, that in fact that the libraries actually play a much bigger role. Because again, if you actually think that, you know, when people don't know what to do or where to go, and they have difficulty in terms of balancing their funding, again, if you have actually material in the library where maybe there are alternative ways in which people can actually do things, you should actually support libraries more and increase the budget. Because you know, even if people just go there, you know, to have fun and to forget about their problems, you know, it's nice if they can go to the library and watch a movie. movie, etc., and so on.
I'm sure if there are any librarians listening, they're standing up and cheering right now. Yes, we need more support for the library. Well, coming back, I guess, to the point we were talking a little bit in the beginning about, how the digital age has affected libraries and how more and more information has been digitized and people are accessing it in a digital form, I'm sure that there were some people would say, well, that's going to help you, or that would help any library provide services to patrons, because you can connect them electronically with the information that they need, and that means that you can put them in touch with a particular text or a kind of information. You don't have to have it on the shelf. You can access that way. And in a sense, then, your collection is as big as the world. But I suppose it's not quite as easy as that. Does that, though, help you in serving patrons? The fact that you can, as long as you have the connectivity and you have the hardware, yeah, you can do it.
I actually really like the way that you've put that, because it is certainly, I think, the one thing that, that if we think about it, that really, the advantages and the benefit and what it actually, through digitization and information technology, that it has certainly opened up the world of, and certainly have helped to really provide universal access to information, because, as they said, the world had become a global village, and as such, through this, because it can actually reach. And yes, you still have to provide the resources, and in technology is not necessarily going to just mean because you have the technology that everybody will have access, but it's given you the opportunity. It certainly helps to provide much more and better access to information, because in terms of how you can deliver that information, whether it is in Kenya, where they use camel libraries to provide information to people, in the mountains. And if you're in the camel, if you have a computer, I mean, there are so many examples of projects of how technology had enhanced access to information and how it's possible to bring information to people in remote parts of the world. If you, of course, provide the infrastructure in order to do so. But it is unprecedented, the value that information technology can add. And I think if libraries can actually really utilize this as an opportunity, then we can, it certainly help and can assist for us to be able to provide access to knowledge and to information, which is basically the fundamental role of libraries, whichever library, wherever they are, in order, because it's about providing the access to that information. And technology certainly help us by digitizing the information. And whether you provide it through computers, a desktop, a laptop, but of course we can use mobile communication as well in order to provide that. So definitely, it assists and help libraries in order to provide access.
Well, though, is that, though, a challenge for you, just to make sure that you have the basic tools, that indeed you do have the hardware, and you have the networks are there, and the opportunity for connectivity is there, just to be able to give people the opportunity to use it, or for you to be able to deliver services in that way?
Absolutely. And of course, again, maybe just the comparison with the developing world, just in terms of bandwidth and connectivity, and it's very expensive in those countries. So a lot of them actually had assistance through donor assistance. And of course, that's not sustainable. So it's actually really that the governments of these countries should actually be able to invest and provide that, and actually see that as part of their connectivity and as part of their information strategy in order to provide information, and not just government information and all the other things, or scientific information, but also just information that people, in terms of how to be able, just to get books that people can read. But of course, the printed book, is still very much a model that that many countries, you know, still use and can still continue to use. Because, like you said, all those issues are challenges in terms of connectivity, in terms of affordability, in terms of maintenance, in terms of the technical support and expertise, in terms of, again, librarians to give to train them also so that they can actually help and assist the users in order to access this material. So all of those things are very much not equal in terms of how it's done and how it's applied in various countries. So for that kind of thing, you know, we still, and that's where IFLA, as the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions, still have a major role to play in order for us to provide training, to assist librarians, giving them skills on how to do this, provide them frameworks for policies and strategies, and of course to advocate for the importance of libraries to their governments, and then also to get assistance in terms of being able to put up the infrastructure and the resources in order to provide these services.
Yeah. I wonder if we could come back to something. I realize you touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think that the language challenge to me is interesting in the sense that you have patrons or that come with having more than one a number of languages as their first languages. And I suppose we're used to the idea that libraries collect already existing material. Are there some ways in which libraries have actually been involved in trying to encourage or make possible production of material that doesn't exist before because mm-hmm. you have this sort of multi-language demand?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can probably only speak again about South Africa here as a specific example where, again, the National Library currently is as part of this overall transformation or transforming the public libraries in South Africa, actually received funding specifically to, first of all, to produce a catalogue of all the indigenous languages, particularly in terms of our official languages. So it, in most cases, it will require these kinds of also special funding. And then, of course, to publish those books in those languages. And in the case of South Africa, part of the project is then also to provide the catalogues and the books, actually, in each public library, actually get free copies of these books in order to do so. Because in many cases, many of these languages are dying out. People don't publish in those languages anymore. And of course, people, even in terms of, even if it's their mother tongue, they tend to want to speak English as more an international language, or one of, you know, and also as a business language, or, you know, as and also in terms of a school language. So it is a challenge, but certainly unless you allocate and dedicate and commit funding in order to publish in those languages, give awards to, you know, have special awards for authors to write in those languages, etc. It's not going to happen. So all of these need special efforts, you know, to do. And we may have it, you know, like in Europe and in other countries, where in fact there's substantial investment in order to publish in the original languages of those countries. And that is what some, I think, African countries also need to do in terms of, basically, because it's also about preserving the language in a sense.
Yeah. I'm interested in having you maybe talk a little bit about this, the theme of the talk that you're going to give, and that is that the role of libraries and the kind of information that they provide in a country's development, and about how maybe the fact that Africa has lagged behind has been in part the result of the thing that you call the information famine, the fact that the kind of information that people need is not available, or that they can't, for a variety of reasons, they can't access it.
Yes, as I will, you know, cover in the talk, what I will cover in the talk is the fact that, of course, you know, the result that we have and the famine that we have is a result, f- first of all, really about stifling the production of Africa's unique knowledge and what we refer to as indigenous knowledge. And because of the colonial rule and basically what influenced the development in the African countries was what was happening in the West, and basically there was, you know, no need in order, you know, to what there already was. And in fact, and that is what actually had developed, and the growth at the time was in fact that knowledge that people have had about and understanding, of course, you know, of their own environment and what they need to do. So what actually happened is that Africa needs to develop now its own system in terms of what is actually required and what is needed for Africa to really become part of it. So we will have to address a couple of issues in terms of some of that. So the content is key, and it's one of the key things that we need to look at. And that content is, again, the local content in terms of the needs and the understanding. And it's through that we look at particularly knowledge that is being produced by Africa, in Africa, and in terms of addressing the particular needs of Africa. And here we're really looking at what is referred to when we talk about indigenous knowledge, we talk about traditional information, and when we talk about, and then of course it's also oral tradition, because of course Africa to a large extent has an oral tradition. It's information that have been through centuries been basically transferred via the elders and then from one person to another person, and not many of these have actually been written down and not necessarily have been published, because it is also regarded as inferior from the West. And I think that's the first thing. It's about being able to now collect, because many of these elders are dying. Many of these have been actually information and content that actually related to specific problem solving issues, in terms of even if it is knowledge that people have had from their forefathers, in terms of whether it's about the soil, whether it's about agriculture, whether it's about health issues, in terms of indigenous plants and how that can actually help and assist. And all these have been very valuable things that have been there. So what we're talking about is that we need to collect that information. And of course, that we need to be able to preserve that so that we can continue to use that, because it's about Africa solving its own problems. And it actually has the information and it has the knowledge. Of course, some of these could then be used also, and it can become scientific research, and that can also, of course, enhance again the whole process, but it can certainly help to assist with the research processes, etc. So the libraries there can play a much bigger role in terms of being able to basically go and find this information, being able to collect that. Some of it may have been written down, maybe not published, as I said, collect these for the libraries, and of course, again, use technology to digitize some of this information to make it more accessible. Of course, there are many issues that one will have to handle here in terms of copyright, etc., and intellectual property rights and so on, and how do we go about it. But if it becomes part of the information system of the country, then of course various libraries can play a major role in it. So it's about, again, collecting, developing that local content, the knowledge that exists there, whether it is in terms of dance, songs, in terms of folklore, etc. It's information that's there, it's knowledge that exists, but nobody is aware of it and nobody is doing anything to preserve that kind of knowledge. So that's the one way in terms of, and of course, if you do that, it can actually help to also, for Africa, for example, to contribute to also the knowledge base and the global knowledge base. So if we have these things, we can get researchers. It can be researchers from South Africa or from other parts of the world that can come and can write about those kinds of things, that can publish them in journals, makes the rest of the world available. It's also not just about Africa getting from Europe and the Americas information, but that Africa also can contribute to to the global knowledge base of information. So that's certainly a second way in which we can do that, by publishing then that material, preserving it, and then, of course, make it as openly accessible and available as possible. And not necessarily, it doesn't actually mean that it only has to go through the normal way in which we publish scholarly material, but it can also be by way of open access systems, etc., that we can make that available.
Do you find that you have to persuade communities that preserving that kind of historical cultural memory is important, or do people right away recognize that that is important and they don't have to be sold on the idea of doing that, that they, as soon as they get the idea that maybe you might be interested in, or there might be a way to preserve that, they're ready to go?
I think in terms of ordinary people, that they probably would be ready to go. But of course, as I've indicated, there are some of this that actually has to do also with that could have a commercial benefit of it. In those cases, it's very difficult to convince people that they have to actually, that, you know, that this is, you know, in order to contribute to the public good in terms of information that's available. But in most cases, it's about, you know, if you go and speak to people, ordinary people or people that have the information, you know, that we'd like to tell your story or tell us the story. You know, I think most people would like somebody else to hear their stories. And that's, you know, if that's what you sell, I think, you know, normally, you know, you don't have to convince people too hard to do so. But sometimes it's not that easy.
Yeah, and I'm sure that it's not something that that an institution like the library could do all alone. That you really have to have a kind of a partnership with the community, because really the community has to actually do the library can you can help people. You can sort of teach them how to do it. You can provide them some of the tools. You can get them started, but I think that's no doubt that's something a community really has to do for itself, and it's something that you have to persuade people that's of the value of it, and then say, and we'll help. You know, here's how you do it, and we can provide you some of the tools. Now, go and do that. Mm-hmm. And it seems that could be a particularly exciting thing to get the younger people of the community involved in, because, you know, we're always saying to people, you know, your elders won't be around forever. They have great stories. They have things that you should know. So don't miss the opportunity to sit down and ask them, you know, say, tell me your stories. Tell me about your life. What was the world like when you were my age? Mm-hmm. What do you think I should know? What should we hang on to forge that kind of relationship across those generations, I think can be a really exciting thing and a natural sort of thing to happen if you just if you just strike that spark. I think that really can take off.
Yes, I absolutely, you know, agree with you, and I think especially if one can bring young people involved in this, that it would certainly be great. But it's about building that trust. That you have to start with that, and once you have the trust of people and that they can actually see that how this can actually help others and in fact address us some of the major problems that we actually have in society, in the world today, that how that can actually help with those kinds of things and so on. And then we go back to, and I don't know if I should use the word, you know, moral issues, but I think if we, you know, some of the things in terms, whether it's poverty, whether it's, you know, all the other things that's happening, if we actually go back to those kinds of things and this is, you know, the resources and sources that we actually have in our communities, it can make a huge difference. And I think if more people can become involved in that, certainly, you know, we can create, a global knowledge base that can actually help each and every one of us and really help us to probably, you know, yeah, no, I think I'm sort of getting to, you know, to peace and all the other things and hope. But certainly, I think there is a lot of hope for us.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Mortensen Center is all about. I'm sure that people who work in libraries like you do, that's the idea of free and open access to information sharing, people sharing their stories, people getting to know one another, that's all to the good. And that does have something to do with peace and prosperity and trying to share it and sort of pass it around, the more people know about one another, maybe the less inclined they are to fight with one another. And maybe that's—I don't know—maybe that's also being overly optimistic, but I guess that's the basic idea, right?
Yes, yes, indeed.
Do you really feel that this is something where you, at least in the African context, are starting to make some progress addressing the information famine? I'm sure that you would say you still have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do think that there are certainly positive developments and spots in parts of the continent, and particularly the advantages of information technology, because if we actually use that, because we can already make a huge difference. And through that also in terms of the last few years, if one compared with a couple of years ago, there's, for example, projects, indexes that provides access where Africans themselves have actually become involved in this. We have several digitization projects that are part of world digitization projects, such as the World Digital Library, which is a project of the Library of Congress here in Washington, D.C., and there are also several foundations that are involved. And I think exposure such as this one here at the Mortensen Center, just to make people also aware of what we're doing and giving some examples of positive developments, certainly, shows to me that I think that the future for libraries is still very much great in South Africa, in Africa as such. And I think through international cooperation and collaboration that many of our institutions actually do provide, that we would be able to survive, mm-hmm. and provide library services to citizens.
Well, and I think, just to mention, the Mortensen Center, one of the things that they have been involved in now for a very long time is to try to provide training and to link people up who work in libraries all over the world and to try to provide them the most up-to-date sort of tools and information involved in doing their jobs and trying to provide the kind of information that people in their countries need. I'm sure that no matter where you are, that's a great challenge, having people in your libraries have the most current skills and the best information, and to plug them into the sort of the international network of colleagues, both on the community level and on university level, who do what they do, the same things all over, mm-hmm. so they can share whatever kind of information they have on, what's the need and how do you meet the need.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The exposure, and especially in terms of the program that's being run by the Mortensen Center, just the exposure to best practices and models, and the fact that they actually have the opportunity to go to some of the libraries here to engage with the librarians and learn from their experiences, and then of course at the same time developing their own skills in their thinking about what it is that they need to do, and really covering all aspects that librarians actually have to deal in the 21st century as far as libraries are concerned. All of that, because I think people, and certainly I've had discussions with some of the associates that have come here, and not just from South Africa but in other parts of the world, and they all say that basically it's like, a whole new world that's actually going open for them, and how they are inspired and actually motivated to be able to go back and see, you know, what they can apply in their own libraries and what a difference that it makes and the contribution that they can make when they actually go back. Because the program is designed as such a way that people really get an opportunity to look at all the various aspects that actually impact on where they work and how they work. So it does provide that kind of scope and certainly contributes overall to providing skills and opportunities for librarians.
Yeah. Well, there, I think that we will have to stop here. We've come to the end of the time that we have. I would like to mention once again that our guest, Ellen Tice, who is Senior Director of Library and Information Services at the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa, and is also currently serving as the President of the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions. She is here for the 2009 Mortenson Distinguished Lecture, going on for a number of years now, sponsored by the Mortenson Center here at the University of Illinois. She'll be talking about Isolation and Information Famine Stifling Africa's Growth. This is tomorrow, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, at the Graduate School of Library and Information Science. That's in room 126. It is open to the public, so anyone who is interested in hearing what she has to say should feel welcome. And certainly, if you'd like to find out more about the Mortenson Center, you go on your, and you have web access, you go on there and you put that into your browser, and you can find out more about the center and its activities and what it is all about. And to you, thank you very much for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was delightful to be here.